If all of you have, we started a new series 3 weeks ago on the minor prophets. So we're going to walk through Daniel through Malachi, but we will do that chronologically in the order that they were given. And we'll find this quite interesting. So Joel is the oldest of the minor prophets. Now the word minor, as I shared on the video, does not refer to importance. It only has to do with the size of the books. They're still very important books. Joel especially, as I shared a few weeks ago, two-thirds of the book of Joel is prophecy about future events, none of which have come to pass yet. Now, the passage that I would have preached tonight is verses 12 to 17 of chapter 2, but I actually preached a message on that passage in December. I didn't think it was fair to you to re-preach a message, but the title of it was, Where is Their God? So I'm sure you all remember that from 6 months ago, about how we need to turn and fast and weep and get right with God so that our testimony is strong before the world. And so that would have been the passage normally would have been next, but I preached it a Sunday morning in December, and we move on, therefore, to verses 18 to 27 here in Joel chapter 2. And again, more prophecy about future events, none of which have come to pass. Verse 18, Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, Behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. But I will remove far off from you the northern army and will drive him into a land barren and desolate with his face toward the east sea and his hinder part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up and his ill savor shall come up because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. So the Lord will do great things. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to join together this evening and open your word together. And we pray now as we continue through the book of Joel, you would guide us in your truth and teach us things that would be a blessing to our hearts, but also would work miracles in our Christian walk. And so, Lord, may you be glorified and guide us in your truth. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. You can see we've looked the past couple weeks at the coming day of the Lord, which begins at the rapture and primarily is referring to the tribulation period, culminating with the return of Jesus Christ to the earth to judge the nations right before setting up his kingdom that Israel's been waiting for. Here we see God now sharing what will happen after that, and that is that God will bless Israel. And they've been waiting for this for a very, very long time. This prophecy here was given over 2,500 years ago. It's amazing when you think about it that way, that God would eventually bless his people. Hasn't happened yet. They're still the most hated nation on earth. And they will go through the tribulation period and a lot of them will perish. But the nation will survive. And at the end of all of that wrath, they will be blessed. They will finally receive their kingdom. They will acknowledge Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And these many great things will happen. And that is the event or the time that God is referring to here. So what he's saying is that they just need to wait. Now, if they would pay attention, they would turn to the Lord. But as a nation, they need to wait until it's all over and the end will be a blessing. Did you notice at verse 18, he said he will be jealous for his land and pity his people. Israel is not men's land, it's God's land. And Israel is God's people. And that's never changed, by the way. And that's who he's referring to here. Verse 19, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied. In other words, they will receive abundant blessings once the time of wrath is over. The blessings will be poured out. If you go to Malachi chapter 3, we'll see this as well. But the promises to Israel have never been disannulled, if you will. They've never been removed or negated or even replaced by Christianity. These promises will still come to pass. Now, here at the end of the Old Testament, right before God goes quiet for 400 years, here in Malachi chapter 3, verse 12, look what he says to Israel. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, we know that this has not happened since this was written, 400 BC. That Israel would be a delightsome land, and that all nations would call them blessed. The opposite is true. Most nations hate Israel. But it will happen. These blessings will come. So back to our passage. Notice verse 20. I will remove far off from you the northern army. Remember, at the end of the tribulation period, there will be this huge battle that takes place. Like we saw last week in the Valley of Decision, God called it. And in the end, God wins the battle on behalf of Israel. So let's go to Isaiah 41 and just be reminded about this battle that takes place at the end of the tribulation. Isaiah 41:11. Turn there if you would. Behold, all they that were increased against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Now, if you remember, and we'll see this when we get to the book of Daniel, God allowed Israel, the temple and the city, Jerusalem, to be razed. God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come in and take them captive because of their disobedience. That was their chastisement. But God also constantly reminds them, and remember when we went through the prophecies of the Old Testament, that there will come a day when all these nations who were against Israel will then get punished for what they did to his people. And this is an example of that here in Isaiah 41. Let's look at one other in Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 8. This is three books before the last. So Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. So Zephaniah, not Zechariah, but Zephaniah chapter 3, and look at verse 8. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. So we read about this in Revelation 19, where Jesus returns, the two-edged sword out of his mouth, the Bible says he will judge the nations. And that's exactly what will happen. And we read about it in Matthew 25, where he gathers together the sheep and the goats and judges the nations. And God says it's not over. From a national point of view, Israel will still receive these blessings, and things will still be turned around for them, but it hasn't happened yet. So back to our passage, my title verse here, verse 21. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Great things for Israel. These promises are to Israel. They're not to us. Now, we get to be there, praise God, because when Jesus returns in Revelation 19, read about it, the saints are returning with him on white horses. That's us coming back from heaven with Jesus. We get to watch him win this war. We get to watch him set up his kingdom. And then we get to rule and reign with him, as we read in Revelation chapter 20. But these promises are to Israel. We got to graft it in through Jesus. But let's look at some of these great truths. Isaiah 54, let's turn there. And just be reminded about some of the great things that God is going to do for his people Israel at the end of the time of wrath, which is the 7-year tribulation. Isaiah 54, look at verse 8. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, So in God's timing, that 7 years is a moment. It will be a horrible 7 years, but in God's timetable, it's but a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my people be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. There are so many verses in the Old Testament that say the same thing. His covenant cannot be broken. His promises to Israel have to come to pass. Many of them are what we call unconditional. In other words, it's not based on their behavior. It's just God's just going to do it. While you're in Isaiah, go to chapter 60. We'll see some more about some of these great things that God is going to do for his people Israel. Isaiah chapter 60, look at verse 15. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated. Well, that's now, isn't it? So that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, the joy of many generations. He's talking to Israel. Have they seen this yet? No. Has Israel become the joy of many generations? Not yet. But God is saying, wait. Let's look at Zephaniah again. And just again be reminded about these amazing great things that the Lord will do for his people Israel. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17. This time. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. By the way, this is a beautiful verse to memorize. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. So it's a great verse to memorize for us because we can claim it because we are God's children. But this is specifically given to Israel. And he's saying to Israel, he's eventually going to save them. He's eventually going to rejoice over them. He's eventually going to joy over them with singing. Hasn't happened yet, but it will. So the Lord is going to do great things for Israel. Let's go back to our passage here in Joel chapter 2, verse 23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. The children of Zion. The Bible says in Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Thy king cometh unto thee. Talking about Jesus. And then look at Isaiah 41. How there will come a day when Israel will again rejoice in Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 41, verse 18. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Now, as we get further into the minor prophets, we get especially to Zechariah, what we're going to find is God's actually going to make huge geographic changes when Jesus returns. Mountains will be valleys and valleys will be mountains. He's going to change everything around, create new rivers. And what's currently a desert will be a garden around Jerusalem and around Israel. So they will see great things. And one of the things is God will rejoice in them. Back to our passage, Joel chapter 2, verse 26. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. In other words, God is going to bless them physically. They will be satisfied. And these are promises all through the Old Testament is how God is going to mightily bless Israel again as a nation. Go to Psalm 69. Let's look at a couple of these physical blessings that they will enjoy. Psalm 69, verse 35. And we'll just look at a couple of these great promises. Psalm 69, verse 35. For God will save Zion. He will build the cities of Judah that they may dwell there and have it in possession. So Zion will be saved, the cities of Judah will be built. And then go to Isaiah 32, verse 18. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 18. And so Israel will see great things. The armies will be removed, the war will be over. They will be rejoicing in Jehovah again. They will be satisfied with God's blessings. Isaiah 32, look at verse 18. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Wow, that's just the opposite right now, isn't it? One of the most unquiet places on earth is Israel. But there will come a time when they will dwell in quiet resting places. And it says here in verse 26 of our passage, and they will praise the name of the Lord. They will know who He is. They'll realize it was Jesus. You read in Revelation where He returns and they'll say, what are those prints in your hands? And He'll say, I got them in the house of my friends. And they'll realize we crucified our Messiah. And they'll accept Him as their Messiah. And they will praise Him. Go to Isaiah 12 and we'll see some of this amazing praise that will take place by Israel unto Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 4. The Bible says, in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. They will praise Jehovah. And then Isaiah 51, let's look at another one in verse 3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and He will make her wilderness like Eden. Remember I said that it was no longer going to be a desert? It's going to be like the Garden of Eden. And her desert like the garden of the Lord, joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. So God is going to do great and mighty things for Israel. Says on back in our passage, verse 26, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Again, not what we see today, but there will come a day when, as we are told in Isaiah 45, Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded. Isaiah 45, 17. So the Lord's going to do great things for Israel. And aren't you thankful that we get to get in on that program of blessings through Jesus? So the army will be removed. They will win the war through Jesus' help. They will be satisfied. Their land will be blessed in physical ways and spiritual. They will understand who Jesus is, and they will welcome Him as their Messiah. And then our last verse this evening, verse 27 in Joel chapter 2, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. That's not talking about you and me, that's talking about Israel. His people will never be ashamed. The remnant, Isaiah 10:20, let's look over there. This is what will happen for them, the ones who survive the tribulation, the remnant that's left. Notice Isaiah chapter 10, verse 20. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Judah or Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. And then look at Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 7. Jeremiah 24, 7. And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. You know what's sad is all these promises are in the Jewish Bible. And yet they don't understand how it all works because they didn't accept Jesus. Go to Ezekiel 37, and we'll look at another one about this blessed time for Israel, Ezekiel 37, verse 26. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then we'll go to Zechariah and we'll finish tonight. But the Lord, Jehovah, is going to do great things. Go to Zechariah chapter 2. He's going to do great things for Israel. They will win the war, that final battle there of the tribulation period. God will bless them physically. He will restore their land from desert to like the Garden of Eden. Provide all their needs. They will accept him as the Lord. They'll rejoice in the Lord. And as we see here, they will understand who God is. Notice Zechariah chapter 2, verse 10. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I am come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And then one more in Zechariah chapter 8, verse 8. And I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Praise God. So what should this mean for you and I? Well, first of all, never stop praying for Israel. We're commanded to. They're still God's people. Pray for them. Some do get saved. And many will get saved in the tribulation period, many Jews, when the 144,000 Jews become mighty preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, many Jews will be saved. But pray for Israel. But for you and I, what does it mean? Well, we receive an inheritance as well. Incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. We have heaven to look forward to. Forever with Jesus. But part of that forever with Jesus is we get to come back with Jesus and be here for this beautiful kingdom that God's going to give Israel. And rule and reign with Jesus Christ. So we need to tell people, I've got some good news for you. Jesus died and rose again for you and offers you eternal life. You get to spend forever with Jesus if you'll trust what he did for you at Calvary and repent. What could be better than that? Nothing. So let's tell people the good news of what Jesus did. Let's pray for Israel and let's rejoice that we get to be there when the Lord Jehovah will do great things for his people. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And